I'm standing strong without a single snap, finding peace together on this dusty map. No more sharp reactions throwing us away.
Welcome to Strong Without the Snaps, the podcast for men who are tired of letting anger, frustration, and destructive blow-ups damage the relationships that matter most. I'm your host, Paul Steen, and every week we'll learn practical strategies to help you become calmer, communicate better, and build stronger relationships with the people you love. You know, we talk a lot about communication, conflict resolution, all those big topics, but there's one area that often feels like the elephant in the room, and that's intimacy. And it's often the place where a lot of unaddressed issues really, really blow up. I mean, it's fascinating how many couples will come to therapy talking about we just don't connect anymore, or we're constantly fighting. And when you peel back the layers, a significant part of that disconnect often stems from what's happening or not happening in their intimate life. It's not just about the act itself, but everything surrounding it.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, right? It's not just the physical act. It's the timing, it's the differing desires, it's the quality of the connection. And these things, when they're not aligned, can create so much tension, so much avoidance, and frankly, a lot of resentment that just bubbles under the surface until, as Paul said, it just explodes.
Explodes in other areas too, which is interesting. You're fighting about the dishes, but really, you're fighting about something much deeper that hasn't been discussed in months, maybe years. And I think one of the most common, almost stereotypical, but often true, differences we see is how men and women approach this whole concept of connection, especially through intimacy.
It's so true. I've heard it said many times, and I've seen it play out in so many relationships. Men often see sex as the road to communication, while women often see communication as the road to sex. It's like two different starting points for the same destination, but if you don't realize the other person is coming from a different direction, you just end up frustrated.
That's such a brilliant way to put it, Bethany. Because for a lot of men, physical intimacy is a primary way to feel connected, to feel loved, to feel seen. When they feel that physical connection, it opens them up emotionally. It's like, okay, now we're good. Now I can talk about my day. Now I can share what's really on my mind. Exactly. It's almost like a shortcut to emotional vulnerability. You know, you feel close, you feel affirmed, and then the words flow more easily. Whereas for many women, if they don't feel that emotional connection, that verbal connection, that sense of being heard and understood beforehand, the physical intimacy can feel empty or even demanding.
Right. For women, often, the conversation, the quality time, the feeling of emotional attunement throughout the day, those are the building blocks. That's the foreplay, in a sense, for the deeper, more vulnerable physical connection. If that foundation isn't there, the desire just isn't there.
And this is where the cycle of avoidance can really kick in. A woman might feel like, he's only interested in one thing, and he's not listening to me. And a man might feel, she's always pushing me away. She doesn't desire me. She doesn't want to connect. Both feel rejected, both feel misunderstood, and neither is getting their needs met. It's a classic impasse, isn't it? Because both partners actually want intimacy. They want connection. But they're approaching it with such fundamentally different blueprints. So what do we do about this? How do we start building a bridge when you've got these two very different starting points?
I think the first step is awareness, honestly. Just understanding that these differences exist and that neither perspective is wrong. It's not about one person being right and the other being mistaken. It's about recognizing that you both have valid ways of experiencing and seeking connection.
Yeah, and I'd add to that, empathy. Once you have awareness, can you really put yourself in your partner's shoes? Can the man understand that his partner might need to feel emotionally seen and heard before she can fully relax and engage physically? And can the woman understand that her partner's desire for physical intimacy is often his way of saying, I love you, I need you, I want to be close to you?
That's huge, Robert. Because sometimes when a man expresses desire, it's interpreted as purely physical, when in reality, it's loaded with emotional meaning for him. And when a woman asks for conversation, it's not a tactic to avoid sex, it's her actual pathway to feeling safe enough for intimacy.
Exactly. So, practically speaking, what does this look like? For the man, it means leaning into communication in ways that might feel unnatural at first. It means asking open-ended questions, listening without trying to fix, offering genuine compliments that aren't tied to physical appearance, and being present throughout the day, not just when intimacy is on the table. And for the woman, it means understanding that physical intimacy isn't just about her desire, but also about her partner's need for connection. It means being willing to initiate or respond sometimes, even when she might not feel in the mood in the traditional sense, recognizing that for him it's a way to connect, and that connection can actually build her desire.
That's a really challenging one for a lot of people to wrap their heads around, isn't it? The idea of sometimes initiating when you don't feel the spontaneous urge. But it's about investing in the relationship, knowing that the connection itself is the goal. And sometimes the physical act can spark the emotional closeness.
It's about responsive desire versus spontaneous desire. Many women experience responsive desire. The desire builds in response to touch, connection, and the moment, rather than starting as an intrinsic urge. So, being open to that possibility, that the desire can grow during the experience, is really important. It's not about faking it till you make it, it's about being open to the connection developing.
And it works both ways. When the man understands her need for communication, and truly engages in that, it often does lead to her feeling more connected, and therefore more desirous. It's a virtuous cycle if you can get it going, but it requires conscious effort from both sides. So let's talk about some tangible tools. Beyond just awareness and empathy, what can couples do? I often hear about scheduled sex, and some people cringe at that, but others swear by it.
It's a contentious topic, but for some couples, especially those with busy lives, it can be a lifesaver. It takes the pressure off the spontaneous expectation, which often doesn't happen when you're exhausted parents or busy professionals. It carves out dedicated time for connection, which can be both emotional and physical.
I think the key to scheduled intimacy isn't making it a chore, but making it a priority. It's saying this connection is important enough for us to make time for it. And then when that time comes, it's not just about the act. It's about being present, communicating, exploring, and focusing on each other's pleasure and connection. It can be a date night that naturally leads to intimacy, not just an obligation.
That's a great distinction. It's not about punching a clock. It's about prioritizing intimacy and building anticipation. And what about redefining intimacy itself? It's not always about penetrative sex, right?
Oh, absolutely. Intimacy is a broad spectrum. It includes cuddling, holding hands, passionate kissing, thoughtful touch, massage, sharing vulnerabilities, deep conversations, even just prolonged eye contact. Expanding your definition of intimacy can alleviate pressure and open up new avenues for connection, especially if one partner is feeling less desirous of traditional sex.
And that's so crucial for bridging the gap around differing desires or frequency. If one partner has a higher libido and the other a lower one, focusing only on the most intense form of intimacy can lead to frustration. But if you both commit to a wider array of intimate expressions, then both partners can feel cherished and connected in ways that meet their needs. So, how do couples even start these conversations? Because for many, talking about sex and desire is incredibly awkward, even with a long-term partner.
Start small. Don't jump straight into we never have sex anymore. Start by expressing a desire for more connection, more closeness. You could say something like, I've been feeling a bit disconnected lately, and I really miss feeling close to you. Could we talk about ways to bring that back? Or, I've been thinking about what makes us feel most connected, and I'd love to hear your thoughts.
And choose the right time and place. Not in the bedroom when one person is trying to sleep, not in the middle of an argument, maybe during a quiet walk or over a relaxed dinner where you both feel safe and unpressured. And use I statements, I feel, rather than you always or you never.
That's good advice for any tough conversation, but especially this one. And it needs to be an ongoing dialogue, not a one-time fix, right? These desires and needs can shift over time, with stress, with life changes.
Absolutely. It's a continuous conversation. What worked last year might not work this year. What one partner needs might change. Life stages, hormones, stress levels, they all play a role. So a healthy intimate relationship requires regular check-ins, a willingness to adapt, and a lot of grace for each other.
And a commitment to prioritizing each other's pleasure and fulfillment. It's not just about one person's orgasm or one person's desire. It's about mutual pleasure, mutual connection, and ensuring both partners feel seen, desired, and satisfied, both physically and emotionally.
So, if we're looking for key takeaways today, it's about recognizing those fundamental differences in how we approach intimacy, validating each other's pathways to connection, and then actively, consciously, and empathetically working to bridge that gap. It's about communication, patience, and a willingness to explore beyond our own initial understanding.
Yes, and remembering that intimacy isn't a destination, it's a journey you embark on together. It's built on trust, vulnerability, and a shared commitment to keeping the flame alive, however that looks for your unique partnership.
Couldn't agree more. It's about creating an environment where both partners feel safe enough to express their needs and desires, knowing they'll be met with understanding and a genuine effort to connect. That's where the real pleasure and fulfillment lie.
Well said, both of you. This has been such a vital conversation. To our listeners, we hope this episode has given you some clarity, some tools, and maybe even sparked a conversation with your partner. Remember, genuine connection is always within reach when you approach it with understanding and an open heart. Thank you for joining us on Strong Without Snaps and for dealing with the relationship roadmap. We'll catch you next time. Remnants. For more guidance, tools, and more in-depth support, including specialized coaching, go to www.phoenixrevelationslifecoachingsupport.com. Again, www.phoenixrevelationslifecoachingsupport.com.
If today's episode helped you, share it with another man who needs to hear it. Remember, anyone can lose their temper. It takes a strong man to master it. Until next time. Stay strong without the snaps. We can build